Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
He's going to go back and listen to the podcast. Maybe, maybe not. But someone's going to let him know that he was famously or infamously snoring on national radio. My general rule is if you would like to make a fool of yourself on national radio, who am I to stop you? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thank you, Robert, in Detroit. Yeah, you rest up. You got a big game coming up on Thanksgiving Day. 855-212-4227. If you, too, would like to become part of our collection of snorers, or if you would like to share a story about how you tried to cook a Thanksgiving turkey or some other part of the Thanksgiving meal and it went horribly wrong. Now, I'm not looking for you to fess up that you started a fire in your oven, but if you need encouragement, just know that I did it last year. I survived. It was scary. I'm not kidding. All of a sudden, I smelled smoke and looked inside my oven, and there were flames shooting up from the top of my pie. Now, that's one problem, but it's a shocking discovery. But then how do you get that thing out of the oven? Right. That's the challenge. It's not like you can pour water into your oven. That's not going to work.
And then the smell.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. So it was Thanksgiving. I had only one friend coming over, but I threw all. It's like a panic mode because you need to get the fire out, but you also need to get the windows open, and you also need to figure out what the hell to do with the pie. So yes, there's all these things that race through your mind. I want you to know that the windows were my priority. I turned off the oven immediately, and then I started opening windows before the fire department had to show up at my house. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio on our Facebook page as well. Andre would like someone to wake up Robert. Nah, it was more fun that way, actually. I don't care what he had to say about the Lions playing on Thanksgiving. That was way better. Far more entertaining than anything he could have expressed to us about football. That was my favorite. When there was like this warning growl that the lion just kind of utters while lying in wait. It's like a puff. You shouldn't ever give Pete tools like this because they will come back to bite you. You need to find the other barnyard animals. I'm telling you, we have a whole collection in there. Goodness, the whole show just got completely sabotaged by producer Pete. And Robert, really, it's your fault.
Thanks, Robert.
All right, you direct me. Which way should I go here? 855-212-4227. You can also get ready for the TD of the week because we'll have those candidates straight ahead and the polls will be in the same place on each of our social media sites. Lou is in New York. Lou, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy.
Hello.
Listen, I'm calling because, like, I don't really understand the infatuation with Lamar Jackson. I know he's, like, the two-time reigning MVP.
Yeah, just
but
that.
What did he have tonight? 177 yards and two touchdowns and, like, a dipsy doodle, like, touchdown run where the Chargers, like, weren't even interested in tackling. Like, what does he bring? What he brings to me is, like, he was completely enough in the championship game last year with the Chiefs, and he was pretty poor against the Steelers on that two-point conversion and even the entire game. So what does that guy do to warrant a third MVP possibility? He's like average or worse. You can talk about it.
Oh, I can. I can talk about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, just to clarify, so we're on the same page, the MVP awards are not given for playoffs, okay? So they're given for regular season. And last year, the Ravens were the number one seed in the AFC, even better than the Kansas City Chiefs, right? They had the best record, and he was the best player. And just, I want to make sure we're on the same page. You are familiar with quarterback rating and passer rating, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Passer rating and quarterback rating.
Wait a minute, Lou. Zip it for a second. You asked me my opinion, so I'm going to give it to you. The quarterback rating and passer rating are not connected to the number of yards that you throw for because that's not a great measure of success. There are quarterbacks that can go out there and chuck and duck all the way up and down the field. Does that mean their teams are winning? No. Here's the thing about Lamar. He can beat you a variety of ways. He can throw a ball 40 yards down the field and drop it into his receiver in the corner of the end zone. He can extend plays while his receivers get downfield because of his legs. He can also, due to his athletic abilities, juke around defenders, or as you call the dipsy doodle. He can take contact. He's been doing that for a lot of years in the NFL, and he's getting better in terms of not coughing up the football. I know that was a major issue when he was younger. He's smart. If you see Lamar Jackson play football, you know he's smart. Lamar's no longer out to get the gaudy stats. Lamar doesn't care about how many yards he has. In fact, he'd rather hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. What Lamar cares about is winning. And so as he's gotten older as a quarterback, he's become more efficient. He's become more dangerous because he can beat you a variety of ways. And he's become a guy who can see and recognize the defense across the line from him. And in that case, can, in fact, call audibles, change the plays at the line. He's got input with his new offensive coordinator that started a year ago. So it's an offense that's tailored to him. So don't look at the number of times he throws. Don't look at the number of yards he has. Instead, look at the dub, because that's the most important thing. And also look at his QB rating and his passer rating, because that will indicate to you how deadly he is with the ball in his hands.
He's ridiculously average as a quarterback.
All right, well, we're going to have to agree to disagree on that because I sure think that you are alone on your island in that case, Lou. I should have asked Lou who he feels like the best QB is. Also, just to one more thing, just to piggyback on that. Teams do not win or lose playoff games because of their quarterback solely. We could talk about Pat Mahomes until the cows come home. But if Pat is not throwing to guys who are catching the ball, then it doesn't matter. If Pat doesn't have a defense that can also hold off the other team's offense, well, then it doesn't matter how many points you score if your defense is giving up points every other possession. It's a team sport. I get that Lamar wants to play better in these big games, and I have no doubt that at some point Lamar and the Ravens will be relevant in the playoffs. Maybe this year, now they're at 8-4. They're right there among battling with the Steelers, for sure. for some of those top seeds in the AFC. He's terrific, and he's only getting better as he gets older. And I really think you can tell his wisdom, his experience. There's no shortcut to experience. He's been in a lot of different situations, pressure cookers in the NFL. And yeah, the only thing left for them to do is get to a Super Bowl and win it. But sometimes that takes a little time because you got to build that. I just love that the way they've tailored the offense around him now takes advantage of all of his skills, not just the fact that he is an athlete that is worthy of his entire own, like, solo Madden category. By the way, I saw this earlier. The NFL Twix account has changed their header to a Madden Thanksgiving. It's a Madden Thanksgiving. So if you check it out, there's they've got the list of games that comes up on Thanksgiving Day and then on Black Friday. And there's different ways that you can stream and blah, 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 all of that. But yeah, they're calling it a Madden Thanksgiving because he was so prominent on Thanksgiving broadcast going back to his day. We've got the Bears and the Lions. That's the early game. Now, here's how it goes, Pete. The early game, you're either sitting down at the table. For those families who eat right away at noon, you're sitting down at the table and then boom, going right to football. For those families who eat a little later in the day, maybe it's appetizers, it's hors d'oeuvres, it's the drinks, or it's a lot of people in the kitchen. So that's the thing. I sometimes have to go back and watch the early game, which almost always features the NFC North and the Lions, because I'm usually busy cooking or busy trying to help in the kitchen. But that's the early one, and that starts at 12:30 p.m. Detroit time, which is 9:30 a.m. Those of you on the West Coast, you're just having breakfast. That's awesome. The Giants and the Cowboys. See, I think I'm going to plan my dinner at 3:30 Central Time, which is Dallas time, because I do not need to watch that game. Who needs to watch that game? Seriously, name someone. Mike McCarthy's mom? Is that who needs to watch the game because she's worried about him getting fired?
Potential coaching candidates might want to watch that game.
Just be completely honest, I could not care less about the game between the Giants and the Cowboys. If the Cowboys end up winning two games in a row, maybe they're smiling, they're a little happier. If you lose to the Giants, it's going to ruin your entire Thanksgiving. But how much national interest does Giants and Cowboys have?
I think if one of the teams scored 100 points, I don't think anyone would care.
Or if one of the teams scored 0 points. Actually, right. If both teams scored zero, I don't think anybody would care.
2-0 final, no one would care.
It'd be interesting to see the ratings for that game, because I know it's a rivalry that generally attracts a lot of attention, and this is not a knock on Tommy DeVito. It's not. It's just that the Giants are not a winning team, and he is a backup quarterback in the NFL. Not that Daniel Jones was any better. You don't even have Saquon Barkley. To take the ball. And the Cowboys, again, I'm sure Cooper Rush's family is really excited, and they've got some superstars on that team. But even if they do win two in a row, they're sitting at 5 wins now on the season into week 13. Yep, dinner at my house will be served as that game is kicking off.
That'll be a lot of people. And that also could be a travel time as well. Someone going from
playing your travel around
place.
The Giants Cowboys game. The third game on that Thursday, the third part of the triple header, actually is going to be really delicious. If you are a believer in the Dolphins now and the way their offense has come together since Tua returned, if you are a believer in the offense, then Green Bay hosting Miami is a delicious matchup. It's atypical. This is not a traditional matchup, of course, Dolphins and Packers, but both these teams are sitting, what is it, second? No, I guess the Packers. Yeah, the Packers are, no, are they the Vikings? Hold on, I got you. Packers are third place in their division, which means they desperately need this win. They can't afford to lose ground with the Lions and the Vikings being so good, and the Dolphins are trying to get back to even. They could win their fourth game in a row and be back to 500, which is massive in the AFC. So, yeah, that's a big matchup. And it's on NBC. You can also watch it on Peacock. And then Black Friday. This was the game last year that launched the Chiefs' official bid for re-election, if you will. The Raiders and the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Now, last year was on Christmas, and you remember Antonio Pierce and the Raiders were crowing about how they beat the Chiefs, and they figured out the prototype to limit Patrick Mahomes. The team didn't lose for the next 17 games, including the Super Bowl, in Las Vegas, which is so ironic. I love that. So that's the game that's on Amazon Prime on Friday. So they bid and won the right to pay billions of dollars to carry the Black Friday game, which kicks off at 2 o'clock Kansas City time, kicks off at 1 o'clock in the afternoon Vegas time, which is 3 o'clock Eastern. Preston is in Atlanta. Preston, welcome to After Hours.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can.
All right. I want to pour one out for my boy Robert, real quick. Who wasn't here with us because he was snoozing. But Miss Amy, I want to ask you, you know, yeah. I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan. A lot of teams are on fraud watch, you know, coming up to the end of the season. What do you think about the Atlanta Falcons coming up the bye week, facing the Chargers?
Oh, was there more to that question, or that was it? That's the question?
I'm asking you.
Gotcha.
You know, there's a lot of teams on fraud watch, like Washington, Dan Quinn.
Wait, Dan Quinn?
I don't know if
he's not your coach anymore.
He can't hurt me.
Right. Actually, he cut his teeth there as a head coach in Atlanta. And I know that there are some hard feelings there, kind of like the Cleveland fan base has about Bill Belichick going back to when he was head coach. Here's what I think about the Falcons. And it's frustrating, I'm sure, for Raheem Morris and that front office. They still don't have a pass rush. They still don't have a pass rush. And that's been essentially their Achilles heel. It's been their fatal flaw now for a few years, but they still don't have a pass rush. And for Raheem Morris, who was part of the Rams defensive brain trust going back to the Aaron Donald years, right? And the years when they were in the Super Bowl. It's frustrating that they still can't get a pass rush together, one that actually can put pressure on a quarterback. Now, because the NFC South is one of the worst divisions in sports or in football. Right. They still, just like the Buccaneers, they still have the opportunity to win and host a playoff game that first weekend. But it is tough, because they lost their third round pick, who was supposed to boost their pass rush coming out of college. They tried to add people. I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
You're talking about Braylon Trice?
Yes. Talking about Braylon. Yep. And obviously brought in Matthew Judon for a third-round pick to the Patriots, and he had a huge season in 22. I know last year he missed most because of injury, but he only has 2.5 sacks now, and that's the same number for Grady Jarrett. So he's not playing great football at this point, and part of it's the people around him too, but he's facing double teams all the time, which is a direct indicator that there isn't another guy on that pass rush that can be as effective, right? If they can double Matthew Judon and throw extra guys at him and chip him, well, that means they're not so worried about anybody else who's out there trying to rush the quarterback.
Yeah. Hey, what really troubled me was seeing the Panthers give the Chiefs trouble. Like,
meaning like you're worried about the Panthers, or you don't think the Chiefs are Super Bowl caliber again?
They are Super Bowl caliber, but I'm worried about, you know, my division, and then also Bucks are, you know.
Gotcha. Well, I wouldn't worry too much about the Panthers. The Bucks, they've got the potential. I think at times they are a little bit disjointed, and they've certainly had some injuries that have contributed to that. Their defense is not as good this year under Todd Bowles. They're inconsistent at best, but I think that's the entire division, right? The entire division is inconsistent. It's just degrees of inconsistency, which means it's still wide open.
I just won a playoff game at home.
Okay.
I don't know if you
that's still very much within the reach of the Atlanta Falcons.
The Falcons have not hosted a playoff game at home in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
So I guess it's a good thing you have big-time college football games there.
I'm a Mississippi State.
I'm trying to encourage you.
Mississippi State will never be in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Unfortunately.
Oh. Okay. I'll take your word for it. Never say never, though. They like to host games there. So I do think coming off the bye week, you should see a more motivated team. I think Raheem Morris is great. He's going to be a really good head coach. Obviously, his first couple times, they didn't go quite as well as he wanted it to, but he's learned a lot under other coaches. I think they do have really solid pieces on offense, and they have the pieces on defense. It's just, yeah, it's not quite come together the way they anticipated.
No, the defense needs cohesion, but I will say this as an Atlanta Falcons fan. I love Raheem Morris. I love Coach Raw. When he came in to be the interim head coach, there's a journalist for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Theo Linder Ledbetter. He'd always ask, how are you doing as the interim head coach? And Coach Raw would always go, no, I am the head coach, until they tell me otherwise. I wanted him then, but I had to live with 3 years with Arthur Smith, so...
Yeah, I think some of the hires for the Falcons have not been terrific. I agree with you. The Arthur Smith did not work out for a variety of reasons. I still think they could have done well with Bill Belichick, but maybe the franchise front office not ready for that. Still, Raheem Morris is a great hire. He's a superstar in the coaching ranks.
I mean, but who would be ready for Bill Belichick? You know what I mean?
A team that's desperate to win will be ready for Bill Belichick. They'll do whatever it takes if they're that desperate.
But no, I'm glad I got Coach Raw. But yeah,
it's year one. All right, well, it's year one.
Yeah.
Let's give them a little bit of time. But I do think they've got the right pieces. I think that offense has got some teeth as well. Thank you for your phone call. Happy Thanksgiving to you. At A-Law Radio on our Facebook page as well. Did we get a post up? Okay, so
it's up.
Post up. Let me see if I can find it. I didn't see it on my own.
You see a
Twix.
A very interesting gift, too.
Oh, is it a turkey? Don't tell me it's a turkey blowing up. We don't need that.
Turkey being propelled.
Oh, yes. I love that. Oh, no. Let's see.
Right out the window.
Oh, she just chucked it right into the back of a dude's head. Okay, that's a good place to start. Who wants to share a Thanksgiving cooking horror story? I went first, actually, and told you about the pie that I lit on fire. Thank you so much for those of you who've sent Thanksgiving wishes. Really excited about spending time with family. Different part of the family that I've never done Thanksgiving with before. We've got our Monday MVP poll available for another hour. We'll get to touchdown of the week. And we're talking about the Ravens, who have now moved to 8-4. Same number of wins as the Steelers in the AFC North. Just a half game back now. They haven't actually had their bye, which is incredible. Teams that have not yet had their bye, they have got to be running on fumes and desperately need a break. And there's a handful of them left, like the Colts. They haven't had their bye yet. Either the Texans haven't had their bye yet. So there's a couple more weeks, maybe one more week of byes. I think. Don't quote me on that, but I think they usually wrap up around week 13.
Or 14.
So
one of those weeks.
They're in there somewhere, but we're getting close. The Broncos haven't had a bye yet. So there's a lot still that has to happen. There's a long way to go. A lot of real estate left in the football season, but this is a great week for Football Day Americano. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hill the running back, Jackson in the gun. The 49-yard line of Baltimore, 3rd and 2. Shotgun snap. Handoff, Hill runs laterally. Stiff arms, breaks a tackle, 50. Got a block, 40 on the numbers, 30. Far side, foot raise, 20. Far side line, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Or did he step out of bounds? Let's see where they're marking. Oh, it is a touchdown. Walking the tightrope down the far side.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Couple things to note about the Baltimore Ravens picking up their 8th win. More than 200 rushing yards. So it wasn't just Derrick Henry, who did go over 125, actually closer to 150. It was also Justice Hill, who rips off a 51-yard run to the house. And I actually love his touchdown run for this one single reason. He didn't take any type of a circuitous route, man. He took the direct route. He took that handoff, took a right-hand turn, and boom, he was gone. That's efficient. And if you think about what the Ravens are capable of, they've got some good receivers. I mean, Zay Flowers had a terrific catch, a snag from Lamar in this game. We see what Mark Andrews can do when he's completely healthy. I know they don't have a lot of depth to their wide receiver core, but they've got guys who can make plays. But the way they run the ball is incredible. And then you add Derrick Henry to that. And Derrick Henry, of course, is going back and forth in this race for most rushing yards this season. He is paying attention to one Saquon Barkley. So what does Derrick have to say to Saquon?
First of all, Saquon, slow your ass down. Down. He's a hell of a player, man. They're a hell of a team. They've been doing a great job as a team. How many games they won? Like 9 straight, I think, or something like that. But as far as running backs, man, we just want to go out there and do our job effectively, show that the position matters.
Derrick Henry, slow your ass down. That's terrific. I'm going to have to try to use that in conversation over Thanksgiving. No, that might be offensive to the family members. Yeah, that I probably wouldn't. I'd have to explain. For the guy who called us to tell us that Lamar Jackson is no big deal and he doesn't really understand what all the fuss is about, even though they don't overload him with passing attempts, he's still leading the NFL in passing yards. That's better than Joe Burrow, better than Kirk Cousins, better than who else? Geno Smith has thrown for a lot of yards this year. He is tops in the NFL in rushing yards. And if I'm not mistaken, now I'll check this out based on the number of games he's played now, but I'm pretty sure he's leading the NFL in passer rating too. Hold on. Hold that thought. He is. Oh, not only leading the NFL in passer rating, was it Lou who called us to complain about? Yeah. So not only leading the NFL in passer rating, which is a measure of lots of different metrics, but also really a gauge of your efficiency at the position, your effectiveness at the position, but he is a full 8 points ahead of the closest QB, who in second place is Jared Goff. How about QB rating? Passer rating and QB rating. Yep, he's tops in both of those categories. So I don't know. He might actually be the front runner for another MVP, but you got to throw in Saquon. You got to throw in Derrick Henry. Of course, the two of them, they're going to go neck and neck if, in fact, Saquon does not slow his ass down. Right now, Saquon has 1,392 rushing yards. Henry, 1,325. It is a two-horse race. Ron is in Baltimore. Ron, welcome to After Hours.
Thank you, Amy, for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess Lou needs to come out of the closet and really watch some football.
Maybe his TV doesn't get good reception in there.
Maybe. I just wanted to speak on the game today. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we brought out the victory and that our defense could hold it together, and hopefully our penalty calls can in the future back off some more.
Yeah, that's one big thing for them. I know a lot has been made of their pass rush defense and the number of passing yards they give up. I thought they did pretty well in the second half. Well, actually, in this game overall, they did well because Herbert barely had 200 yards passing. And I thought they defended really well, though, in critical situations like the red zone, like third down. They defended against the pass and were fairly effective there. So that part I liked. But yeah, I totally agree with you about the penalties. They've got to cut down on those.
Absolutely. We just need to get this next game out of the way, get our bye week, get some people back healthy, and hopefully they can bring Keaton Mitchell out there, and he can run off some good plays for them.
All right, we'll see what happens. I do think that they are a team that's battle-tested, even though, as we talked about, they've got a few weaknesses. They're going through a pretty tough schedule in the AFC North, out of the AFC North, and the number of quality teams they've faced, I think, is really preparing them, too. And also for Lou in New York, they're averaging better than 30 points per game. So I could go on and on about why Lamar Jackson is an MVP candidate, but Ron, I'm glad you're happy. It's a happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you.
Have a great...
He took a pause. I jumped the gun. Sorry about that. I really do feel bad. I thought we had exchanged our pleasantries, and then we're moving on. Joe in Maine, welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. Listen, I have a Thanksgiving a story for you.
Okay.
When I was with my daughter's mother, for the first year, we went to my grandmother's house, and I didn't realize the burner was on. I took the green bean casserole out. Uh-oh. Well, yeah, let's just say the green bean casserole now was burnt.
So you took year, it. Well, you took it out of the oven and then put it on the stove?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yep, that'll burn it.
And then the second year, they went to my house, and she put it in a plastic container. I set it on top of my stove where it was warm. Well, let's just say the plastic container melted.
Oh, no.
So she refused to bring green bean casserole around me for the rest of the time.
Was this on purpose?
No. No, it really wasn't. And I would just like to touch on Monday's game.
Okay.
I think Lamar should start running more because it makes it more interesting that the teams, I'm legally blind, so I have to listen really well to the games.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when he runs, it makes the defense think, is he going to run or is he really going to pass it?
Yeah, it's true. The fact that he's a dual threat guy means that you have to be aware of both options. And the fact that he can do, at any point, he can look as though he's going to pass the ball. He might even be looking to pass the ball, but you have to continue to contain him because if he doesn't find a receiver, he will tuck that ball and take off before you know what's happening. So you have to defend the entire play. You can't just think, okay, he's dropping back and he's sidestepping and he's going to chuck it. No, you have to know what he's doing until the ball either leaves his hands or he's by you, and then you're cooked.
Right. I'm a Chiefs fan since 1995, and I was really scared when we played them last year, this year in the playoffs, because I thought he was going to run all over us.
Yeah, it's actually it's tough to contain him, of course. So there are ways. The spy, you know, that's something that happens a lot with running quarterbacks. You just assign one dude to him. It's like a box and one in basketball when you're facing the Warriors or a guy who can shoot like Steph Curry. You just one guy just sticks to him like glue or like Velcro as much as possible.
Right. Well, happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for taking my call.
Stay away from the green beans, Joe. Stay away from the green beans. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too.
All right. Let's not. My brother-in-law will be making the green bean casserole this Thanksgiving. So let's not in any way. Let's hope none of that rubs off on him. But let's not in any way assume that that's going to happen in my house because I would freak out if it's in a plastic container and it melts. Guess what happens to the food that's in the container? All over everything. Doesn't a green bean casserole have some liquid to it? Oh, no. I would, no. All right.
Well, I'm hearing about who's going to be around for your Thanksgiving celebration,
mm-hmm.
and you're still worried about your turkey.
I am worried about the turkey.
There's enough people around that if something were to start going haywire, someone could help recover.
Ooh, I don't know if that's their area of expertise.
Really?
I feel like there'd be a lot. So my husband would be terrific. He would help me put out the fire. I swear he's hoping that there's another pie that's on fire just so he can see it. So he's seen the pictures, but he hasn't actually seen the fire. The other two family members, I don't know them obviously as well. I've only known them for a year and a half, but I think there'd be more yelling than there would be helping. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like yelling,
too.
Like, ah, that kind of yelling. Not like yelling at me, but yelling like, ah.
Yeah, I've seen that mishap.
Yes.
Side before, yes.
Yes. Christian sends us this tweet at A-Law Radio. Horrific story. My mom does the mashed every year. I'm assuming he means mashed potatoes. Last year, my aunt wanted to try crock pot mashed, and it was a massive soupy fail. And to say the least, Madre is taking the reins back over Thursday. Oh, that's the worst. If you don't have potatoes, it's almost like you have a naked Thanksgiving. It's like forgetting an earring for those women, I guess, or men who forget their earrings. When you forget your jewelry, don't you feel like you're naked in some ways? People out there, they know what I'm talking about. You don't have potatoes to go along with your turkey spread, and it's like you're missing a limb.
It's one of those things I don't think you need to change the formula for. It's like giving Mickey Mantle the number 8 and not number 7.
Don't reinvent the wheel.
Correct.
Right. At the top of the hour, we're going to talk to our friend Jesse Bradley, who hails from Seattle. Now, he's one of your favorite guests. We get a great reaction every time we have him. Not only is MLS down to its final four, trust me, we're not talking about soccer, number one, but he's big into all of the different Thanksgiving essentials that I outlined to you. So I'm going to get his reaction to my Thanksgiving essentials. He's going to join us again at the top of the hour. Also big into hope, both hope for sports teams and hope of a different type, which is great. So that's coming up. The dog story still, I promise you'll get all of the deets about our sweet dog who is a lot. She's a lot, but she's only been with us for 2.5 days, so we're trying to withhold any type of judgment. 855-212-4227. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Let's begin with Monday Night Football at SoFi.
Hill, the running back, Jackson in the gun. The 49-yard line of Baltimore, 3rd and 2. Shotgun snap. Handoff, Hill runs laterally. Stiff arms, breaks a tackle, 50. Got a block, 40 on the numbers, 30. Far side, foot race, 20. Far side line, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Or did he step out of bounds? Let's see where they're marking. Oh, it is a touchdown. Walking the tightrope down the far side.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood 1. The Ravens beat the Chargers 30-23. Mark Jackson with 2 touchdown passes and a touchdown run. On the ground, Derrick Henry, 24 carries, 140 yards. Now to the NBA, and we'll start in Denver.
Brunson looking. Brunson drives, goes inside, finds Anunoby. 40 points for OG Anunoby. As Brunson adds to his career high now with 16 assists.
Jalen Brunson finished with 17 assists to go along with 23 points. Mike Breen had the call on MSG Network. The Knicks beat the Nuggets 145-118. OG Anunoby with a career-high 40 points. Elsewhere in the NBA, Thunder over the Kings, 130-109. Nets, 128. Warriors, 120. The Mavericks beat the Hawks, 129-119. Celtics, 126. Clippers, 94. Grizzlies, 123. Blazers, 98. The Magic over the Hornets, 95-84. Pacers, 114. Pelicans, 110. The Pistons over the Raptors, 102-100. College basketball, number 2 UConn, taken out by Memphis, 99-97. It was number 4 Auburn over number 5 Iowa State, 83-81. NHL, the Sharks over the Kings, 7-2. Kraken, 3, Ducks, 2. Jets over the Wild, 4-1. Red Wings, 4, Islanders, 2. Senators, 4, Flames, 3. Canes over the Stars, 6-4. In a shootout, Golden Knights, 5, Flyers, 4. Blues over the Rangers 5-2, and wins for the Devils, Lightning, and Capitals. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Hey, sports fans. Andrew Perloff here on the Infinity Sports Network. Check us out 24-7 on SiriusXM Channel 158.
Ball at the 30. In the gun. In the pistol. Barkley. Behind Hurts. Motion to the near side of the field. This time it goes to Barkley up the middle. Across the 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 70 yards.
These guys here are amazing. They make my job a lot easier. I'm probably going to get a lot of credit, and you know, everyone's going to say this and say that, but in reality, the beauty of this game is it's a team game. And my favorite quote that Nick always says, you can't be great without it's hard to be great without the greatness of others. And those guys and the tight ends and the wide receivers blocking down the field are super amazing.
In the pistol with Barkley behind him. Motobetti gives it to Barkley. He gives it to Barkley, who cuts outside. Uh-oh. He's at the 40, the 50, uh-oh, the 40. He's going to go again. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
You know, I didn't know, you know, I would have this much success, and you know, I keep thinking that God's been busting me a lot, a ton, to be honest. But
yeah, I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the fresh start. A big reason why I wanted to come here, me and my family and you know, my fiance, I've had a conversation with. I think this is a spot where I can, you know, kind of rewrite my story and feel like I can show everyone the type of player that I feel like that I can be and was meant to be. And, you know, it's working out right now, but the beauty of it is the NFL is week to week, and, you know, we're hot right now, but you just got to get ready for next week and keep moving.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Overwhelming choice for Monday MVP. That is Saquon Barkley, tops in the NFL in rushing yards, but not just that, the impact he's had as the Eagles have settled into an identity again that is sustainable. They have won, what is it, 7 games in a row. They're sitting at 9-2, which is second best record in the NFC, tied with the Vikings behind these Detroit Lions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states. We're not really talking about the NFC East, but the Eagles are tops in the NFC East. They've got the current tie break over the Washington Commanders, though those teams have to play again, right? They've not played twice this year, I don't believe. Sometimes I got to be careful and check just so I don't say something that isn't accurate. Nope, coming up, still have another game against the Eagles. The Commanders have fallen back, but are likely still a wild card team if they can win a couple more games, if they can get to double-figure wins. I could see that about them. But the Eagles have taken charge in the NFC East. Now, at the bottom of that division, the Giants are still sitting on the 2 wins. And if you were following the news on Monday, kind of quietly happened that Daniel Jones cleared waivers, and now he's available out there. Any other team can come along and sign him. He's gone. And the talk about him getting pulled from the lineup so that he would not get hurt, it turns out that was really just a short-term type of measure because they didn't even want him around for the rest of the season. I mean, that's a sign of how horribly wrong this went. And so he has cleared waivers. He is a free agent. There are reports out there that a couple of different teams are interested, though, as you can imagine, Daniel wants to sign with a playoff contender. Couple of teams that have been thrown out. Now, careful what you believe and what you hear, what you process, because a lot of times agents will throw things out there that aren't true so that they can generate more chatter and potentially another deal, maybe even more money for their client. But a couple of different teams that we've heard are Ravens and Vikings. Now, there is a balance on his contract, and so there is a financial aspect to this as well. You don't get him for free. And according to Kevin O'Connell, who already has Sam Darnold from a different New York team, the Vikings head coach says, tons of respect for Daniel Jones as a player and a person. He's going to make the decision that's best for him and his career moving forward, blah, blah, blah. I can't really get into too much about any short-term or long-term, only that I'm a fan of his. So that's happened. That's official. Also, his rookie wide receiver, at least while he was on the field, Malik Nabers, he's had a conversation more than once with his head coach, Brian Daboll, about his post-game comments. Now, just to be fair, there were plenty of ticked-off Giants in the locker room after they got smashed by the Bucs on Sunday, once again losing on their own field in front of their own fans who are none too pleased. But you had multiple players inside the locker room afterwards saying we played soft, that they're ripping the Giants' effort and the Giants' ability on the field. And then you had Malik Nabers, who was not only upset with the fact that he did not get any targets until the second half, but also clearly said, this is not the quarterback. It ain't the quarterback. And so head coach Brian Daboll talked to him multiple times.
Malik and I talked last night. We talked this morning. He's a very competitive individual. You want to get the ball in his hands, and I got to do a better job of getting the ball in his hands early.
Well, that's true. It's true. And the same thing with the Micah Parsons deal, the Trayvon Diggs deal with the Cowboys. Here we are with the NFC East again. The challenge is just not to create more distractions and more kind of ancillary stories that take away from what you're trying to do. And that's what happened with Malik Nabers. But again, he's not alone. I mean, maybe he's not the only guy that had the conversation with Brian Daboll, because there are plenty of disgruntled players, frustrated players in those locker rooms. Losing always exacerbates, essentially puts a white-hot spotlight on your various lack of leadership. And in the Giants locker room, we've got that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.